Hi, welcome to the first episode of the Woman, Asian and Bloody Immigrant podcast. My name is Kamaria and I'm your host. For this first episode, I'm joined by my good friend Komal and we are talking about YouTube. You are all very welcome to share your thoughts and opinions on the current state of YouTube and its creators in the comment section below or on our Instagram page. I really hope you all enjoy our conversation. By the way, thank you so much for saying yes. I thought you were going to say no.
Really?
I don't know why. I thought you were not going to be comfortable with this. Maybe.
I mean, I wasn't going to say no, but I was a little like, you know, debating about it because I've never done something like this. And I was like, oh my God. What if people make fun of me? Or what if, like, I don't know, what if something I say stupid? Like, I don't know.
I guess that's the first thought people have. What if I say something stupid? But, like, just remember this is not live.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you still watch, like, YouTube? Like, you know, remember when I was 15 and YouTube was, like, one of the most, like, regular medium I used to watch, like, apart from TV. Do you still, like, regularly watch it?
Yeah, I know there's Netflix, but YouTube is my main channel. Like, that's the only place that I go most of the time. I don't really use Netflix that much.
Really?
Yeah, like, I use it if someone's, like, forcing me to watch something. Otherwise, I'm always on YouTube.
Who do you watch on YouTube?
I watch... I'm not very diverse when it comes to my YouTube choices. Yeah. Like, I'm literally only in the beauty community. Like, I don't really watch Shane Dawson. I don't really watch, like, the other people. I probably watch Jenna Marbles occasionally. You know, the OG Ryan...
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch James Charles, Jeffree Star, Tati Westbrook, all the controversial ones.
Yeah.
I watch a few Desi, like Ansi, she's like a Desi girl from Dubai, like, you know, just a lot of different people.
So you used to watch James Charles, like,
yeah.
You don't watch, was that like before the drama when you
It was, like, actually, yeah, it was. But, like, the thing is, like, I kind of stopped watching him slowly. I used to really, really like him. I even have his palette, like, and I don't really support YouTubers, like, not personally. I never felt anything with them, so I never bought their merch or anything. But I really liked James Charles. I thought he was so cute. And he was doing makeup. He was so cute. I was like, oh, my God. Yay. And then he took out a colorful palette. And I was like, okay, perfect. Let's get a colorful palette. But then I don't know what happened, but I stopped watching his videos because they kind of, you know, I get bored really easily. But obviously, I still supported him. So I would just watch a little bit and leave. And then suddenly this drama came and I was like, what do I do with this palette now?
Sell it, I guess. Wait, you can't sell makeup products, can you?
Not really.
Okay. That's a stupid thing to say. Anyway.
Like, when it comes to YouTube, who do you watch?
I've stopped watching YouTube for a long time. Like, the only channel I watch now is Philip DeFranco, the guy who does news. That's it. Other than that, like, I still go on YouTube, but I don't have, like, specific channels I just watch if I want to, like, watch an analysis on a movie or something like that. I'll just go. I like those kind of Nerdwriter or Captain Christian. They make, like, video essays on, like, movies and albums, like music albums.
Right.
Those are really interesting. You should give them a try. Like, this Captain Christian, he made a video on Frank Ocean and on Childish Gambino and, like, on their career. And it's like a really good appreciative video on those artists. Like, you really appreciate them. aside than the movie that, I mean, music that they release. So, oh,
so it's kind of like mini documentaries of
the artists. Yeah, you can say that.
I literally only watch beauty. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, maybe I would watch occasional, like, documentaries, but literally beauty, 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 everything.
Yeah. Did you ever, like, did you used to watch Superwoman or, like, Nige Higa or those kind of...
Oh, yeah, of course. OG. Michelle Phan. Yeah. OG beauty.
Yeah. Is she still on?
No, she's not.
Really?
Because you know what? She started, like, when she got a lot of success, because she was literally the... beauty YouTuber, like, she started beauty, okay, and then she got the opportunity to have her own brand and it didn't work out, and then I guess because, you know, so many expectations were on her, and when her brand didn't do well, she got so much backlash, and then I think she got really, like, obviously depression, like, she made like a whole video explaining what happened, and so she had some problem with her company as well, so she parted ways and then she just ran away to Paris or something.
Oh,
and she never posted
a
video.
When was this?
I don't remember, quite a few years ago actually.
Yeah, wow.
I really miss her, you know. I still love her, like, I rewatch some of her videos sometimes. She was like the first beauty influencer I can ever remember in my life.
I wanna, because I feel like whenever I go on YouTube, there's too many drama and, like,
oh my god,
like, you know, B-class celebrities, B-list celebrities who are, like, on tabloids, and just their careers are just full of dramas more than creative projects. That's how I feel like YouTube has turned into. I don't see the old, like, I used to go on YouTube and there was a new comedic video from Smosh, there was a new video from Ryan Higa, a new video from, like, epic rap battles, remember that? Slow-mo guys.
I loved epic rap battles. I still remember all the lyrics.
Exactly. Like, there was so much, like, new ideas and new creativity, and I feel like that's, like, really, really lacking in YouTube right now.
Yeah, speaking of creativity, actually, I don't know about the other sides that much, but when it comes to beauty, like, in Michelle Phan's time, beauty was so new, so it was really easy to seem creative, because, oh, you come up with something, oh, it's never done before. But now I feel like there's just so many creative people. Everything is so just, like, everyone's coming out with this very similar things, because there's already so many different ideas available, so it's hard to be unique in a sense. And there's always, you know, accusations, you're copying her. That's, like, such a big issue in, like, the beauty community. They're like, oh, you did that, because, you know, makeup, I mean, sometimes makeup can be so similar to other people, and then people will accuse you of being, you know, copying someone, not giving them credit, blah blah blah. Oh my god, that's another drama, sis. Like, giving credit is just a drama on its own.
Do you think maybe money being introduced into, like, YouTube channels, is that, like, one of the reasons why, like you said, creativity is becoming almost saturated? Like, everyone's new ideas are just similar. Because what I'm trying to say is, before, people used to make videos, used to be creative to make their channel more popular. But now they're doing it for the money.
I wouldn't say everyone, but I would obviously say there's definitely a portion of people who, like, it's all about the money. But then I feel like when they introduced money, even the people who didn't really do it for the money, they kind of, you know, numbers, money, they kind of brainwash you sometimes. Like, it's kind of undeniable. So I feel like when money was introduced, even the YouTubers that were genuine, they started thinking about the numbers even without knowing it. Because I know, like, obviously likes and subscribers, that, like, really matters. And then when you introduce money, it's even worse for the
creator.
Because I feel like they're always competing with each other. And you can literally tell when it's all about the money. Because they tend to do, like, for example, if their channel is making, like, let's say $100, or whatever, and then suddenly they do this specific video that generates like probably 200 or 300, 400, 500, they'll change their style and try to match that one video that did really well to earn more money. Even yeah. though, like, you know, the thing is, I can't really be mad at them because, you know, if they see this as income, like, I would get it. But then again, YouTube was my platform to enjoy different people. Like, I don't know how to explain
yes.
it.
Yes.
It's hard to just
do that. Yeah, I mean, you're a viewer. So for a viewer, you want new, fresh ideas like we used to have. Yeah. So as a viewer, cause like you said, you don't want to be mad at them, but it was also your platform as a viewer.
Yeah.
So if you have a bunch of creators just doing the same stuff for the money, it obviously feels like they've forgotten about the audience. About who were there for them in the first place, like the free subscribers. And that's what I'm saying about money being introduced, is that people make videos thinking about the money, not about what's fun and what's going to make people, you know, enjoy, just simply enjoy the video.
Yeah, and oh my god, let me tell you, even like ever since they introduced money, because obviously it's not just money from YouTube. Like before, you know, you had to buy, like at least in the beauty community, whenever there was like makeup coming out, they had to buy it by themselves. Like there wasn't like PR, like, you know, brands didn't send PR to people, like PR, like free makeup. But I feel like now a lot of people make YouTube or content just to get free makeup as well.
Which is
kind of annoying because they literally make the shittiest reviews. Like, am I allowed to swear?
Not really, but yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'll just keep it out.
I wouldn't swear too much, but I was just afraid.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. That's not nothing.
Yeah, and like... Yeah. Oh, it's so frustrating to see, because, you know, it's so hard for me to like someone. Like, I'll watch one or two videos, but after that, I feel like, oh, they're either, I don't relate to them anymore, or like they're boring me or whatever. Then I just stop watching them, which is really annoying, because back then, like, to this day, it's been so many years, I still like Michelle Phan, and she's like the only one that I still like.
Yeah.
Even James up liking him.
Yeah, time is money, you know, you're giving your time to these people.
Yeah.
And when they're not making it worthwhile, then that's kind of like losing money, isn't it? Like losing £100 an hour.
Yeah.
Speaking
do you know
of James,
anything? Yeah, I was going to ask, anything? Do you know... Yeah, anything? No. I mean, like, about the whole, like, beauty community. Like, are you into it or not?
No. Never watched a full beauty video, ever.
Really?
Unless there's a drama. Like, even then, I never really fully know what's going on. I just hear the names popping up everywhere.
All right. James one, for example.
But this James Charles one, I was really, really, like... interested by it because of, like, what's the other girl? Tati, because I saw her video and she was like so
upset.
Like she wasn't like this, like her video is the first time where I felt like she wasn't doing it for the drama, to escalate the drama. She was trying to actually like stop it. She never like to be honest, like, I'm gonna say it, I watched the entire 40-minute video. I watched the entire thing because she was so, like, she pulled you in, and everything she was saying was so compelling. Like, I don't know her, never watched her video, but I believed her. I believed everything she said, and she seemed so genuine to me. And that was like the first time a drama had some strand of reality, of truth in it.
That's why
I was like, really, like, I wanted to know, like, what really happened.
Oh my god, Tati Westbrook. The thing is, it's not only just like a vibe. Tati Westbrook's reputation in the beauty community is so good because, like, she's like an older, she's from the older generation of beauty influencers, and she's very honest. She doesn't care about like PR and stuff like that. So her, and she gives very honest reviews, and she's never in drama. Like, I think this is the first time she's like in drama. Like,
and she was even forced into it. She didn't want to be in it. Well, I wouldn't say forced into it, but she did do that Instagram story where she was crying about.
Yeah.
But she did explain afterwards. Like, she did, and it made sense because, like, when sometimes even I do that, like, when I read a news and I get angry and I just make a really emotional post about it. But you don't really fully process like what you're thinking. It's just emotional, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I was literally just browsing around, and then suddenly I see like a video of Tati crying, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, did I miss something? And then I didn't have to listen to her, and I was so confused because at first, because I don't really watch people's Snapchat stories or like Instagram stories, because I feel like there's too much advertisement on it and it bothers me. But then she was talking about the sugar, like she was talking about friends and stuff like that. I was like, what happened? Like, what the hell? And then in the comments, everyone was talking about, oh, it's James. I was like, what? And then I just went, like, I literally went everywhere. I went on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram trying to figure out what happened. Then I figured out it was like, because Tati has like the hair vitamins, right? Halo Beauty. And James Charles, and there's another vitamin brand called Sugar Bear Hair. And Sugar Bear Hair is like a, you could say a very old, it's older than Halo Beauty at least. So obviously they're literally the two most known vitamin brands. So they're very obviously competition for each other head on. Yeah. And obviously when James is like a son to you and he advertises Sugar Bear Hair with such a big platform, like, that pissed Tati off. But obviously, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Obviously, I understand, because I'm also that person. Like, if I had a friend who, like, did something like that, I'd be like, oh, you're disrespecting me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But still, like, why is she crying so much?
Yeah.
I was like, it's not just the hair vitamins.
It's not just it, because then she seems like a really immature, unstable person. Like how she was acting.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. And she was talking, oh my god. I was stressed watching the video. Oh my god.
Yeah, but then she explained afterwards, like, the whole situation.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot half of the situation, what really happened.
Sis, I feel like there's so much that, they presented, but also a lot that they did not present to us. But obviously, because we're just an audience at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I literally, let me tell you, girl, this drama was so annoying for me because I love James Charles. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I know he had like the whole Ebola scandal and everything, but I feel like he was what? He was 16, 15? Like, as we were talking before, like, you know, we are young, we make mistakes. So I was like, you know, he said sorry and everything. We should give him a chance. So whenever people brought up the Ebola past, I would ignore it. I'd be like, you know, he's a better person. Like, stop hating on him. He's working so hard and stuff like that. And then when Tati took out the video, I was like, how can he be like, because, you know, they talked about how he was kind of
enforcing his sexuality on other people who didn't want to do that with him.
Yeah, exactly. And also that he's really about the money and, you know, just too much in his head about the fame and stuff like that. When I heard about that, I was like so upset, because that's literally, I cannot stand stuff like this. I literally stop watching someone if I feel they give me that sort of vibe. And the fact that, like, I know I haven't been watching, I wasn't watching him at during that time. I kind of stopped watching him because his videos didn't interest me. But I was still like, no, like, he can't be that person, you know? But then Tati, like, you know, she's not the type to be in drama. Oh, I was so upset. I was like, should I throw away my palette? Like, what should I do? And I literally, because I'm the type who avoids negativity, so I unsubscribed from him. And everyone, like, I didn't realize that so many people would unsubscribe. Like, he literally dropped 3 million.
Yeah. 3 million. Whoa.
What the hell? You know, like, because people were talking, because before this drama, there was another drama with Manny MUA and Laura Lee. And even they dropped subscribers, and everyone was talking about, oh, you know, the downfall of Manny MUA and Laura Lee. And everyone, even James was talking about, oh my God, they lost so many subscribers. And now, I never knew that, oh my God, 3 million. Mm. Like, I still cannot.
I think that's because when you think about, because with the recent Me Too movement and all the, awareness around sexual harassment, people just, like, now we live in a time where people will never, ever excuse or stand for, like, sexual abuse from whoever it is. And that's thing I wanted to, like, talk about, because this whole drama, this wasn't just, like, a normal YouTube drama. This was really, really serious up until this point, because people were, left and right, people were accusing James Charles of, like, forcing them into relationships with him, and that's serious sexual harassment allegations. But now it's kind of like gone down. Like, there's no now. I think this is really dangerous that in the thick of it, in the thick of the drama, this was like the biggest thing people were talking about, like the biggest reason people were dumping James Charles. But after his, like, reply to Tati Westbrook with his video, I didn't watch that video, but after that he regained some followers, and people are now, like, just brushing everything under the rug. And I think that's really, really, like, really concerning, because it's not just a drama anymore. This is serious.
He had two videos. Which one are you talking about? Oh, I think you're talking about the bigger one with the receipts.
The receipts one.
He made two videos, basically. So, because you didn't watch, so I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, the first video was just like a really quick, like, literally 7-minute video, so messy. Like, you know, I felt embarrassed for James. I was like, you should not have done that. But obviously, I feel like, just like Tati, he was emotional and whatever, and he just turned on the camera and started talking. He got a lot of backlash for that. Like, people making him people making him a clown. But his second video, he had, like, screenshots. Another thing in the beauty community, I don't know about the others, but in beauty community, you have to have receipts. Receipts, like, proof. You can't just make, like,
allegations. You can't
just, like, say that, oh, she said this. And James bought a lot of receipts, like all the text messages, all the screenshots. He was like showing. So basically what he said was, all the interaction that he had with the physical interaction that he had with the boys was all with consent. Like, he showed, like, screenshots, and he even, because even the boys that were people were accusing James of harming, even they had made videos, and they were talking about, oh, how it was all in consent, and, you know, like it was in consent, he didn't force anything and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of that's what happened with that. And he explained how, like, he literally, I'm telling you, if you watch that video, even tum bhi bologe ke, like, who's right, who's wrong, what's going on? Because even, like, I really can't say this situation is black and white. Because when I watched Tati's video, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe James did this. I can't believe James did this. But then when I watched James, I was like, why is this just a small... Like, because James explained his side so well that Tati's video, like, it was so on the same level. Like, they were explaining themselves so well, so it was kind of hard to tell like who's right, who's wrong, or who's like, I don't know, like how to explain. And I just feel like us as an audience should just stay as an audience, because I feel like this drama is, unless we knew everything, we can't do anything about it. Because see, like I really thought this was gonna go on for longer, like the drama, but then because you know Jeffree Star, another very controversial influencer, he came in as well. He was accusing him, calling him names, which I think was so wrong. Like, okay, I get it, they know more than us, but you can't just call someone a sexual predator if you cannot show us why. Because it literally looks like, I'm not saying he didn't, he like James Charles both like, oh my god, he's such a good person, but I'm just saying that when we don't know what's happening and you're just calling someone a sexual predator, that's literally, in my eyes, when I was looking at it, I was like, he's just throwing the word around.
Yeah, that was really, really responsible. Yeah, like you said, he was just throwing the word around. He was just, I feel like he was just looking for maximum, like, impact.
Yeah.
When he was saying that, like, full on, like, you know, like, okay, everyone's calm down. Let me just pull the spotlight to myself by saying this really ridiculous and scandalous thing.
Yeah.
That's what also, I felt from him.
So crazy. Like, I cannot even.
Let's move on from this mess. I hate this. I'm having a headache now.
Same. I know. I'm telling you, this is such a, like, I didn't know who to believe and who to not believe. And I was just like, who's telling the truth? And, you know, they keep, like, girl, they post videos on YouTube and they also post Snapchat. They also post Twitter. Like, Mikitar, where should I keep tabs? Like, where should I keep my eyes on?
See, like, this makes me, this, like, you're, how old are you again?
I'm 20.
You're 20. 12-year-olds today have Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Tumblr, whatever other social media platforms there are. They have everything. They have access to everything and they follow these people. You're an adult and you're like, you kind of fully understand the seriousness of sexual abuse allegations, and you understand the seriousness of like these kind of things that they talk about, betrayal and loyalty and all this stuff. 12-year-old, 13-year-olds, they don't, I'm not saying they don't understand, they're not kids, but it's also like you said, you're saying you don't understand, you don't know who's telling the truth. Imagine a 12-year-old who's like easily impressionable, easily influenced. Like, I'm just really concerned about 12 to 17-year-olds who are on, like, who out of every other medium, TV or whatever, they watch YouTube a lot nowadays, and this is their daily content. Like, imagine these dramas and these PR stunts being someone's daily content, being someone's like daily intake of, I guess, human interaction and activity. Like, what kind of message are they getting about how we should be treating people? Like, you just mentioned Jeffree Star buys his friends expensive things. Now, he boasts, he will probably, like, you know about that. 12-year-olds will know about that. And they'll think, okay, that's how friendships are. That's my goal. Or that's normal. These dramas are normal. And you know what? To be honest, I'm starting to see the real life impact this is having. Because kids nowadays in schools, in private life, they're having beefs and dramas themselves. And they think that they're imitating themselves, the YouTubers.
I feel like there's just so much. Because, you know, when it comes to kids, right, I feel like you can put the blame on the influencers, but then again, there's also the parents. Because, you know, like, it also depends on, like, because YouTube is a very broad platform, right? So there are stuff for kids, for adults, for old people, for whatever group you are from. So I feel like it really depends on the influencer's demographic. For example, Jeffree Star, I don't think kids watch Jeffree Star, to be completely honest. But I feel James Charles, he's known for having a younger audience. Like, even like in the videos, this time, a lot of them, like, you know, a lot of the Jeffree Star videos, James Charles and Tati, all of them mentioned how James Charles' demographic is usually young teenagers, like around 20, not 20, what the hell, 12 years old to, like, probably 18. Like, yeah. That's his common demographic. And every, like, you know, Tati mentioned this, talking about how his behavior, the way he is going to really affect the children. And I do agree with that. Like, I feel like if you know your demographic is, you know, younger people, because, I mean, I'm not an influencer, but I'm assuming that on YouTube, you can tell what your age demographic or whatever
is. Yeah, you can actually.
Yeah, but I'm not an influencer. But, like, I feel like those influencers should be mindful of what they say, and not only on YouTube, but on all platforms. Because if they follow on YouTube, they're going to find your other social medias. They're going to find everything and follow you. So I feel like if your demographic is children, or you know your demographic is children, you should be more mindful of what you put in your videos. But I feel like if you are for the older audience, like, if, because you can tell your demographic, if your audience is older, so I feel like you don't really have to care about whether kids are watching or not, because you can tell when a channel is for older people. So, like, I feel like that's when the parents come in. That's when the parents need to be more mindful of their kids. Even though I feel like parents should always just be mindful over their kids. But when it comes to, like James Charles, he should, like, I know, like, I felt bad for him, you know, so many people were, like, bashing him, and he was so young. He's literally my age. I'm, like, 2 months older than him only. So, like, I felt like, you know, older people were being mad at me and everyone was hating on me, I would be so depressed. Like, I know it's being, like, biased or whatever, but I'm really trying to see, like, put myself in James' shoes, and I would be really depressed. Like, okay, because, you know, when you get money and stuff like that, I feel like you do get influenced. And I know it's a sad thing that, you know, he's, like, such a controversial person, and, you know, the kids watch him, and, you know, there's a lot of kids who follow these beauty YouTubers. Like, you can literally see some of these kids have the same attitude, like, oh, you're canceled, oh, whatever, you got beef with me, you can't take my boyfriend, girl, I'm gonna fight you, whatever. And it's like, I want to shake these kids, like, no, this is not real, this is all an act, wake up, chill. Oh my god.
It's not just, like, James Charles, even. It's, like, remember, there are people like Logan Paul and Jake Paul and KSI and Rice Gum and Gabby and these kind of weird-ass people on this channel, on this platform. Like, these people, like, when I look at them, I'm like, I can't believe people watch them. I can't believe, like, I saw this video on Instagram where young, like, they were clearly 11, 12-year-old kids were waiting outside Jake Paul's house.
Same, I think I watched that as well.
And I feel like Jake Paul? Like, they're watching Jake Paul. I hate that guy.
Oh my god, he's so, you know, for me, before I found out that his demographic is so young, I was just like, oh, you know, I was assumed that was just his, fake personality for YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was a joke. Like, even the diss tracks, like, I actually found out later that, oh, it's actually kind of real or whatever. Yeah. Like, this is actual beef. Like, I always thought it was just jokes. Like, you know, like how Epic Rap Battles of History, like, you know, it was all jokes, right? So I thought that's what it is. Like, you know, behind the scenes.
This is what's crazy, is that these people, like, think about it. What is their content? When I ask you, what's Nigga Higa's content? What's Epic Rap Battle's content? What's Superwoman's content? You will have an answer. You'll be like, they make comedic videos. They make skits. They make, you know, music videos, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
What did Logan Paul, Jake Paul, what do these people make? Just drama? Just diss tracks?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Like, Logan Paul, I cannot watch his video because I don't know what his videos are about. Like, a lot of, like, because nowadays I feel like social media has replaced interaction, like, social interaction so much that even something simple is, like, you can become a YouTuber through anything, basically.
Yeah.
Like, people literally vlogging. Like, I know vlogging is, like, before vlogging wasn't popular. Like, it's been in the recent few, like, 1 or 2 years, vlogging has been so popular. And there, Jake Paul even has, a vlogging channel. Like, people have separate vlogging channels. And Jake Paul, I don't think I've ever liked his videos. Like, I've never understood them. I've always found them so embarrassing. Like, secondhand embarrassment. That's what I got. But I always thought it was just a joke. Like, behind the scenes, they're all friends. This is just to be entertaining or whatever. Because, you know, that's how old YouTube was, right? Everyone's making fake diss battles, and it was all just a joke.
Just making fun of each other.
Yeah, and then I realized when I watched the video with the kids that this is real. Like, this is real. This is actual, like, this is their, like, really, like, this is their daily problem. Like, this is actually, like, their problem, and they're like kids who think this is a problem.
No, but
oh my god,
this is like, it's like even their drama, like the I've heard Logan Paul and Jake Paul had a beef between each other, like the brothers having a beef with each other. But the thing is, even their drama are not real. This is how they make money. That's what I'm saying. This is how they're making money, by just making, creating drama. That's so, like, that makes me
toxic,
really mad. Toxic content. It makes me really mad, because this is not creativity. It's nothing. It's just garbage. Total garbage. It's like YouTube from Oscars. It's now a tabloid on a magazine stand with, like, really scandalous pictures and stupid headlines. That's what it is now.
It's that YouTube video, like the titles, they bother me so much.
Clickbait.
All of them are clickbaits. It's like, I can't trust nobody. Like, all of these people are just trying to get me to watch it, and the whole time I'm just waiting for the main point to happen, and it's literally not even, like, kya tha ye? Like, why did I waste my time watching this?
See, that's what I'm saying with tabloids. Like, have you seen the weird headlines tabloids have? TMZ, you know, Selena Gomez is pregnant for the 5th time in a year.
Even on Snapchat, you know, I can't stand, like, going through Snapchat news, because all of them are literally like, oh my god, Kendall Jenner has a pimple on her face.
What's up with Snapchat? I hate the Snapchat Discovery, whatever page that is. It's all like just
irrelevant
tabloid
things.
Pictures.
And they're like showing like celebrities in bikinis, and they're like, oh my god, she's wearing a skimpy like bikini. Like, okay,
I don't care.
So, like, what am I supposed to do? Like,
is this how you collect your income? That's
exactly
embarrassing.
I'm like, okay, she's wearing a bikini. What should I do? Like,
yeah.
Okay, be jealous. That's it.
Be jealous. Are you jealous?
Body yaddy yaddy. I don't have that.
Okay. Do you think all this happened because fame and this celebrity status is now associated with YouTubers? Because before, YouTubers were just like, they were kind of like common man, humble creators, I feel like. And now they get invited to award shows and talk shows and everything. Yeah. So whenever fame, I feel like fame, money, whenever those two get introduced into something, it just becomes toxic, because people forget themselves. People just, especially on a public front, because, you know, people always talk about how on social media we act like someone else, but from the person we are in real life, imagine you are a public person and you have to be so different to who you are in front of the camera.
Yeah, it kind
of makes sense that you start to slowly forget yourself, and you start to get really, like, caught up in the money and the spotlight and everything.
Yeah, I feel like the thing we were talking about, the whole celebrity status being, you know, associated with YouTubers nowadays. There was a time where it was really, like, hard for YouTubers or any, like, people didn't think of inviting these influencers to events, like Marc Jacobs, like Dior, whatever. They didn't invite influencers, they just used celebrities, right? But because hiring an influencer would be cheaper, because, I mean, in the beginning, at least, it was cheaper to get an influencer instead. But now, obviously, oh, right, you were not in this drama, but there was also another drama about how...
I've never been in a YouTube drama.
I'm only in, like, beauty community drama girl. But there was also, like, a drama about how, you know, influencers, they charge a lot of money to, like, advertise brands. Like, literally, like, a beauty YouTuber could just, I'm using this eye cream today. Look at how nice it is. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, they'll charge you probably $20,000-$30,000. There's no, like, like, there's not, like, pakka, like this is how much they charge. But there's rumors that this is how much they charge. Like, even to just use something on camera to show it properly. Oh, look at this. It's, like, a lot of money now. That's how you make business. That's why I can't even trust a lot of you, like, beauty YouTubers. Because, you know, they're trying to earn money, earn money, earn money. The more brands they introduce, show, advertise, the more money they make, right? And they have, and they have codes, they earn money from that. So that's money, money, money everywhere. Everything is associated with getting money. I feel like influencers even make friends with people that would help boost their status.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so sad because you can never tell who are actually friends, who are not friends or whatever. So another thing, because obviously I've been watching beauty for so long. And like personally, like as a audience, I always felt like every time a beauty influencer, because, you know, they're all they're thinking about is getting money, advertising, advertising, advertising. So every time they introduced something and said, oh, my God, this is so amazing, I wanted to go get it. Like, for example, if I was watching someone like Nikki Tutorial, she's also a big YouTuber. If she said, oh, I love this brush set, I want to get it, like, oh, it's so good, I'd be like, oh my God, I want to get it, I need to get it, blah 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 blah, and I would like save money to try to get whatever she was talking about. And then also because, you know, oh wait, and yeah, and then that would make me broke as hell, but obviously I have a job, so that's pretty much, that's okay, and I'm an adult, so I should know what is right, what is wrong. But then when you're a kid, you're just to ask your parents, right? And you're just fighting with your parents, like, why can't you just get me the Morphe palette or whatever James Charles was talking about? Like, why can't you get it? And I don't know.
It's like, when I used to be a kid and I used to watch Cartoon Network, and in between shows they used to show like a lot of toy advertisements, and I was to get that, I want to get this, I want to get that, and then I would like you know, ask my parents and they'd say no and I would feel sad. But with YouTube it's like gamers, beauty books,
everyone has something,
book channels, everyone has something. Merch. And it's more, I feel like with so many different social media connected, it's more personal, in your face now.
Personal and
you can't escape, because once you turn off the TV, that's done, you know. But YouTube and Snapchat, Instagram, it's everywhere. And advertisement is everywhere nowadays.
You
and
know
kids
why?
Are fully it's exposed to it.
You know how before we had the TV, right? Everyone, all the kids, they watch TV, cartoons, everything is on the TV. That's why they had so many advertisements. Like, brands didn't have to brands didn't have to rely on YouTubers for advertisement at all. Because, you know, YouTube was, I mean, it was popping, but not so much. It wasn't, people still watched TV. So, you know, they could always do TV advertisements or whatever, billboards, whatever, the old ways. But then when your audience starts moving to, you know, YouTube, everything to a specific platform, brands had to find other ways to advertise their products. Because you can put so many advertisements on a TV, but if it's never on,
yeah,
useless, right? Mm. So when everyone moved to YouTube, brands started using influencers to put their products in, even
see,
if they work
why,
or not.
That's why... we're seeing all this change, because, you know, that's why influencers are now being invited to these big shows, because it's not because they are really creative and they're really trailblazers or anything like that. It's because for the brands, the big companies, they're just like, another way to advertise the brand's product. Marketing, another way of marketing, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm, that's because, like you said before, we didn't have YouTube creators, influencers on any of these big events because they weren't doing the money stuff. They weren't involved in that. They were just making their own videos. They were just being creative. So obviously, wherever you have money being introduced, you have these big brands, big corporates entering. And, you know, with my slightly anti-capitalist feelings, I hate that because wherever money enters, the whole environment becomes toxic. Yeah, YouTube community at the moment is so toxic. Like, that's, I hate so YouTube community, the YouTube community. It's not, like, remember when it was not so happy and ridiculous? Like, people came up with the most stupidest ideas for a video, but it was so entertaining. Yeah. Like, yeah, the slow-mo guys just smashing a television and then playing it in slow motion, but it was so entertaining to watch. Like, who would have thought that that would be a really successful idea? But it is, because it's creative.
Yeah. Back then, because when it comes to beauty, it was before, I feel like beauty is a little like getting really mixed up, because before beauty, YouTubers only did beauty, like how to do your brows, how to do whatever. But then obviously people kind of get bored of how to do your brows. How many times can you do this video? Yeah, yeah. Two times maximum, right?
Yeah.
Three,
yeah.
if you're really doing something amazing. Three, maybe. Part of the same comments, yeah. Content. So a lot of the influencers, because beauty is such a small box, right? So in order to gain more audience or be more interesting, they start incorporating, like, having collabs with other YouTubers from completely different channels or doing challenges, like, ridiculous challenges, honestly. Like, I've always hated challenges. I don't know why people like them. I mean, whatever, entertaining. Yeah. Okay, I get it. But personally, I never understood challenges. They're kind of ridiculous to me.
So you mentioned a few times, like, as an audience, being disappointed, being mad with the drama, the toxic environment, and you losing your time because you don't think the content you're receiving now is, like, really interesting or worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So, like, do you think there is a way for us as audience to send a message to these quote creators that we don't want this drama nonsense? We just want the old YouTube back where you just create videos with, you know?
I feel like it's going to be really hard because it's all about, you could write tons of messages. If a lot of people sent messages, that would work. Or if the audience stopped interacting with drama. Because, like, how do I say it? Like, response milta hai, tab bhi to wo ye kaam karte hain. Like, if they get a response, that's, they do these things because they get responses.
But I have to say something to that is, like, Logan Paul, James Charles, KSI, these people, everyone knows their main demographic is young kids. Whatever you show to young kids, they love, like, I think, you know, it, as a kid, you know, remember when in the school playground someone started fighting and everyone would just gather around and, like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like fight or whatever. Yeah. Or whenever something happened in school, the rumors would spread around and everyone was involved in it. Kids get, like, really sucked into that kind of thing. What's making me mad is that these people know, okay, my audience is 12 to 15. If I just make up all this drama, they're going to watch me and they're going to be fully interactive, like, in viewership and in commenting, and my monetization is going to go up. This is, I feel like, maybe it's a heavy word, but this is sinister way of using their, like, young audience.
Yeah, oh my God. The thing is, because I'm, like, older, right? So I keep forgetting that these kids exist.
Yeah, see? We forget. because we're 20-year-olds, we forget, and to us this is different. But I feel like for the younger kids, we know that there is a strand of fakeness to this. I don't think the young kids like you know,
it's the whole,
not
like
a strand, like a whole
bundle sis.
Yeah. like we understand that this is, most of this is just PR stunt.
Yeah.
But like, for example, Logan Paul, you know, he had that Japan suicide forest thing. God,
that was crazy. I could not believe that.
The crazy thing, the even crazier thing is after that whole drama, and then after he came back like a month later and he did the whole electrocuting a rat thing, his subscribe. You didn't know that? I'll tell you that later. But the point is, with all that drama, you would think that people would stop watching him, but his subscriber count went up. With every single drama he has, his subscriber count goes up and he earns more money.
Oh my god, it's so sad. Even how old is Logan again? How old are these people?
26 something. He's old. Jake Paul is like 20, in his early 20s. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. He looks 26. Let me Google that quick.
Can I be honest? Their content is so like...
He's 24.
I thought they were
Paul
younger.
Is 24.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I thought they were like 19, 18. Because they're so immature. Like, their content is so immature. So I was
exactly,
just like, okay, maybe they are kids or whatever. Oh my
and
god,
Logan.
They're older than me!
Like, see, Logan Paul, a 24-year-old man, is making these crap, garbage videos to, and then they sell their merch. They sell their merchandise, and these kids buy it. Like, how do you think they're getting money?
Girl, I'm telling Sadma that he's 24. I admit, because my brother watches him, right? And I used to tell my brother, like, you know, you shouldn't be watching these people. Their content is not healthy. It's not good. Like, you know, like, obviously I can't force him, like, stop watching. But
yeah.
I do tell him, like, you know, you need to, this is all fake. You need to realize that and stuff like that. I always give him lectures. Like, if he does something that I feel like, you know what? I feel like my siblings, because, you know, YouTube has been their childhood. They act like YouTubers. I'm not even kidding.
That's what I'm saying. Nowadays,
and
it's just...
I'm kind of like... I blame YouTube for my siblings' behavior. They're so, like, obnoxious. Because, you know, everyone on YouTube, like, they have to be obnoxious to, like...
Yeah.
I mean, on YouTube, it doesn't seem obnoxious.
It's like,
but I feel
like
in real
like
life,
everyone... Remember Sharpay? The Sharpay from High School
Love
Music?
Her.
Everyone is that nowadays. Everyone is her nowadays. Everyone just wants to be... Like, there's no... I feel like because, like I said, social media, on social media and on YouTube, there is... Like, everyone has dual identity. You're a different person online and then you're a different person in real life. Because of that, people nowadays don't have the time to just sit alone and just spend time with themselves, you know, watch a movie, read a book, listen to a song, and like get to know themselves. Nowadays everyone is on online 24/7, that they don't know who they are. Everyone talks the same way, everyone says the same things, everyone thinks the same way.
Are you accusing me?
I'm just saying, generally.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Teenagers and kids. Like, I'm on the bus, and there's a group of 10 teenagers, and they're all speaking in the same, like, tone, same... I don't know if I'm making sense, but...
That's the
I don't see, like, a personality... Obviously, I don't know them personally, so I wouldn't see any personality, but I just don't see... I feel... obnoxious when I say this, but there is no individuality around a person's vibe or aura nowadays. Even here in the UK, when you're walking down the street, you'll see 10 different girls wearing the same kind of shoes, 10 different guys wearing the same kind of shoes, same outfits, because everyone is so caught up in trying to follow trends.
Right, right.
And I blame YouTube and social media and all these platforms for that.
Because, you know, like, social media is like, you know how everything has a standard, right? So social media, beauty, like, they, like, because YouTube was introduced. And, oh, right, and, you know, before, like, when there was not YouTube, it was just, like, advertisements of beauty or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because when it comes to a celebrity, for example, like Kendall, no, not Kendall Jenner, she's not a good example. Like, Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like proper celebrities.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I feel like you're so out of touch with them that you do understand that, okay, you know.
Exactly.
That beauty is not attainable. I mean, no, I'm not saying unattainable, but, you know, I shouldn't be striving for that. Because she's like a different, like, by Beyonce, like, she's over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You would understand where you're standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With YouTube and everything, yeah.
Yeah, but with YouTube, they are, like, the personal level, it's so personal when it comes to YouTube. Like, they're making content just you. Like, even when they're vlogging, they're not even talking like, oh my God, I'm here, blah, blah, blah. They're mostly like, oh, I'm here and I want to show you guys. I'm going to show you. This is for you guys. Thank you. Do you know what I mean? So it feels personal. So it feels like, oh, okay, like, I could be like them. Like, okay, I could live like them. Oh, they're doing this. Like, you know how your friends, that when you're talking, you're like, oh my God, I got this new bag. Oh, wait, I should go get that bag too. Oh my God, I love that bag. Just things like that. So I feel like the YouTube standard seems more attainable to the audience.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like, okay, someone got a Morphe palette. Oh, I should get a Morphe palette, you know? Like, people don't really think about, because also these YouTubers, they're like, obviously every person has their own sense of money as well. Like, if I say something is affordable or if someone else says something is affordable, doesn't mean it will be affordable for the other person. But then these beauty YouTubers have so much money. They're like, this is so affordable, but it's like a $300 palette or so, like a $700 brush set, which is expensive for me, but they're influencers. They'll say it's affordable and people will be like, oh my God, why can't I afford it? It's affordable, right?
Like, are you content with YouTube right now?
No, because there's so much heavy advertisement. Like, you can never tell.
Yeah, you were saying there's so much advertisement. You don't know what they're promoting is real or not. Oh, you were actually saying that you want videos with more purpose.
Yeah, like, because I don't like, I mean, this is just personally. I'm not saying there's wrong with other creators like content, but personally I would like no clickbaits, please.
Yes,
like I hate it when the actual title, like, for example, my mom got locked out of the house or whatever, and that part is only like 2 minutes. Like, if that's the title,
2 minutes, that's being generous. 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's like, speaking of this, sister, let me tell you. Look, this is back in the James Charles drama, but it's really related to this. It's actually a really good drama you picked to talk about. So after this whole James Charles drama, obviously people are looking at James Charles. I have all eyes on James Charles and his friends. Like, will they retweet something that's going to, you know, kind of indirectly talk about the drama? Will they say something? And James Charles' close friends are Nikita Dragon and Gabriel Zamora, new people I know. But they did something, like, after the whole James Charles drama, everyone was expecting one James or Nikita or someone to say something, right? like to reply to Tati. And everyone was waiting. And then I think, I'm not sure whether James' video came out first, but Nikita came out with a video and it had a clickbait title. It was something like, because obviously all this drama is going around. She makes a purposeful title saying, finally getting this off my chest. Like, you know, something like that.
Oh.
Something around that title. And everyone was like, obviously after, because this James Charles drama gained so much attention, even outside of the beauty community, that obviously a lot of people clicked on her video. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
She's best friends with James, so she of something about James. So everyone click, click, click. But it's literally the actual video. I'm not, I haven't watched it, so I don't have, like, I can't say it 100%, you know. But apparently the video was just an advertise. Like, literally, they didn't talk about the James Charles drama. It was literally something about, because she has her own brand, like her beauty brand. So she was literally just advertising her brand.
This is called business strategy. You see something like crazy is going on there, you just take advantage of it.
Opportunity. Yeah, and but yeah,
again, I mean, it brings us back to our point, is that no one is really making content for creativity because they are creative. They're just making content because they want money.
Yeah, advertisements and all these partnerships and stuff like that.
Sponsorship. This is one thing I want out of YouTube. Like, remember when the good old days, I feel like an old lady saying this, good old days when just Superwoman would have a new video and she'd just talk about 10 ways to cheat in an exam. She never made that video. I'm just BSing. But then it was just that video. That's it. There was no, like, other intentions with that. There was no money involved. Yeah. Like, it was just pure. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but pure creativity. That's it. Like, it's not the same anymore, obviously.
And also, speaking of OG YouTubers, I feel like when money and fame and, you know, all of this and followers, not only money, like even just followers, numbers, when all of these started getting introduced to the YouTube community, I feel like even the OG YouTubers, like even it affected them as well. Because, you know, Ryan, even he talked about how making creative content was getting harder for him because, you know, before it was always like they posted whenever they wanted. But then when YouTube becomes such a, YouTube basically became our television. So you know how television has scheduled timetables, whatever. So YouTube started to have timetables as well. So influencers are like uploading on every Monday, every Tuesday. And Ryan was talking about how it was hard for him to become creative because, you know, people demanded him to be so consistent. And obviously creativity is not, you know, it's hard to be consistently creative. So I don't know if anyone remembers. I think people do remember. He took a break. Like, he doesn't come out with videos that often. He comes out, when he does, they're really good, but he does take a lot of time making them, which is why they're so good. So I feel like even the OG YouTubers, like even Superwoman, like I don't really watch her anymore, but even I feel like even she had this pressure of like keeping up.
Yeah, for a time.
It was creativity, like, then it was like keeping up.
Yeah, that's why for a time I felt like Superwoman's videos were like going down in quality, because it was like, she even said it herself, she was just writing scripts day and night, like for hours and hours. And when you're doing that, you never really know which project is really like
worth it.
The one that you really want to do, the one that you just in your gut you feel like it's like you have that one project that you work for a few months and you're just fully focused on it, and the end product is always like, if it's whatever the end product is, you feel proud of it.
Yeah.
But obviously when you have this pressure to just keep making and making and making, it's like when you're writing an essay and you have that word limit pressure, so you're just writing, not at first it's a really good essay, but then you realize it's not reaching that limit, so you're just writing nonsense just to reach that limit, and it affects the entire essay.
Yeah, and also speaking, using the essay metaphor, and also, you know, when they're getting all of this pressure and see, like when they're making content, they suddenly see that, okay, I made this content, I wasn't fully like, okay, I made a video and it did really well compared to my normal creative videos, so they'll change their style and start copying that one video, like I said before. And then they start trying to copy the same video, like the same format. And like, you know, the essay metaphor. Like, you know, when you have to, when you feel like you have to follow a specific format, you, instead of thinking about, oh my God, this word limit is too less, you start thinking, oh my God, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I can't do it. It's too much. It's too much. It's too hard. It, my creativity is not working. It's because also, because, you know, YouTubers have to create, no, I mean, not all, but, you know, they think like they have to create so often. So, like, I think there are some YouTubers that have video every day. They post a video.
Mm.
There are some that post a video once a week, twice a week, which is already really hard. If I mean, if you're looking for creative content, once or twice a week is really hard. Because, you know, they're not just filming and then editing. They're like, they have to think of it. They have to get props or whatever.
Exactly.
Take the video. If it's not good, they take it again and then edit and then like everything, put it together, upload it, wait for upload. Oh my God. It's, being a YouTuber is so like time consuming. But then the creativity required is also so much.
Yeah.
Used to at least require this much creativity.
I still think the OG YouTubers have YouTube. They're not dominating YouTube like they used to, but even now when you go back to watch their videos, their most recent videos, they're still that, they're still creative.
Yeah, they still bounce back to their creative.
They still make really interesting, really well-made videos.
I still watch Ryan. Like, to this day.
It's the same. I still watch them. Like, he just keeps getting better and better and better. And then I see YouTube's, like, front page with, like, all the top 10 trending stuff. And you have these stupid kids called Logan Paul and James Charles Drama. Oh, my God.
They're older than us. I can't believe it. I'm still, like, I can't process. I always thought they were younger. I swear to God. I thought they were, like, 18, 19. But then, you know, the fact that they're older makes sense because that's why they're living alone, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I never thought of it.
Yeah.
Like, this whole time I thought they were just kids, you know, bacho ka apna drama hota hai, blah 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 blah. That's what I thought. Like, you know, just kids having their little whatever. They're 23. I can't believe this. Like, a whole 23-year-old is making drama over it. Oh my God.
Yeah, now go back and rewatch some of his stupid, like, most stupid videos and think that this is a 24-year-old man.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, thank you so much, Komal, for joining me on this episode of my podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I had so much fun.
Yeah, my mouth is dry from talking and I can't even drink anything, any water.
Same.
Oh yeah, because we're fasting at 5.
Yay!
That's all for the first episode of the Woman, Asian and Bloody Immigrant podcast. I really hope you all enjoyed that conversation and feel free to comment your thoughts on the topic and the podcast as a whole in the comment section below. Please follow our social media pages to stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you so much for listening.